From tomorrow, the amount of finfish and shellfish recreational fishers can take from inside fiordland will be reduced, while takes in the oceans outside the fjords will be encouraged. It's been a five-year journey to get here for the government-appointed Fiordland Marine Guardians. The group is a statutory advisory board appointed by the Minister for the Environment and required to monitor the Fiordland marine area and to advise ministers on rule changes. The fishing watchdog was warned in 2019 by long-time local fishers that stocks in the fjords of hapuka or bass, blue cod and pawa were seemingly much lower and harder to catch than in the past. A particular focus for the Guardians was to reduce fishing in the vulnerable inner fjords, but also the entrances to them, where stocks appear depleted. The new rules include both in the same restricted area. Inside that area, which commercial fishers are excluded from, recreational fishers can take 10 finfish, but only one of those can be a blue cod. Outside of this area, the catch can be 20 finfish, and within that, the limit on blue cod is 10. Rebecca McLeod's the chair of the Guardians. Morena, Rebecca.
Good morning, Catherine.
So what's the intent of these new rules, the way they're designed?
Well, as you've just explained, there are parts of the of Fiordland where fish stocks are more vulnerable to fishing pressure. And as the number of fishes into Fiordland continues to increase, we're seeing those fish stocks come under increasing pressure. So these changes are designed to encourage people to fish in the more productive parts of the coastline, which are, as you explained, those more sort of wave-exposed open coast parts of the area.
Those three species we mentioned, they're the only species being brought in under this rule?
No, we've actually made changes, pretty widespread changes across the board. Most of the, or actually all of the recreational fish species that are targeted are going to see some reductions in the individual daily limits. And this is to bring the fishing rules more in line with the philosophy that the Guardians hold dear, which is to fish for a feed, not to fill the freezer. So we've reduced bag limits across the board, but kept enough in there so that people can still go in and get some kai for dinner.
Were there some proposals that were considered but did not eventuate? Rock lobster, I think, might have been in there originally, or crayfish, yeah?
Yes, well, when we applied that fishing for a feed philosophy across the board, that also led us to propose changes to reductions in the amount of rock lobster that could be harvested by recreational fishers. We got really strong feedback on that. And so given that, that's a bit of a good news story, the rock lobster fishery in Fiordland, due to some very good and conservative management approaches, particularly from the commercial sector. The rock lobster fishery is doing incredibly well, and so we couldn't really justify or get the support from the community to make those reductions to the recreation.
How well do you know things are going? Because it's interesting, the data is very anecdotal, and this has come out of anecdotal reports largely, Rebecca, isn't it? What kind of monitoring is possible?
Well, I mean, I think across the board in New Zealand, we don't do a good job at monitoring fish stocks at a scale that is applicable to managing recreational fisheries. And by that, I mean, we're not collecting data in a way that's sort of tuned into the finer scale nature of recreational fishing. So yes, our information is quite heavily reliant on people's lived experiences, and we have drawn on the experiences of particularly of those that have been fishing the area for decades and have seen that kind of shifting baseline in terms of the amount of fish that are there and how easy it is to catch them. Within the Guardians, we also have a very diverse and extensive local knowledge. We don't have the hard data to categorically state like where these fisheries are at, but we are convinced and have a lot of evidence from the community to say that they are trending downwards, and we don't have to look far around the country to see how bad things can get with these coastal fisheries. So we've decided that we need to act now to turn this around. And that is our responsibility under the Fjord and Marine Management Act. We have a responsibility to maintain or improve these fisheries for future generations.
And it's interesting because these guardians have actually been set up in various parts of the country, various fisheries, to play this monitoring role. So I'm interested in the process that you've gone through, 5 years, quite some time, to get to these rules, and what's the process been?
Yes, it has been a long process, by necessity, because well, first we have to kind of get the information and really define those problems, define the issues. And then the way that the guardians have always worked is once we've defined the issues, we then work with the community to develop solutions that will address them. So when we then go to the government and give them our final recommendations about what changes need to be made, we know that the community are supportive and engaged in those changes, and they understand why they need to happen. And that's really important because it, I mean, for a very, vast and remote place like Fjordland, there's not going to always be daily compliance out there on the water monitoring people's activity. So we need the fishers out there to act responsibly and follow the rules because they are invested in the future of Fjordland and the mission that the guardians are on here.
So just explain what happens. You're increasing the catch in the outer fjord waters, right? It's the inner fjords that that are being impacted. Are they viable waters for recreational fishers where you're encouraging them to move to? Just explain.
So just to correct you there, we're not increasing the amount of catch that recreational fishers can take in those open coast environments. We're
Oh, well,
actually
you're encouraging them to move out there, I guess, right? Put
we're
it that
encouraging
way.
them to move out
They
there. So we've got these.
can maintain their catch. They can
Yes.
maintain their existing catch practice if they move to the outer area. Let me clarify. My apologies. Thank you. But is
No, that's
that.
okay. I mean, yeah, for fin fish, so they can take, they were able to take a total bag limit of 30 fin fish throughout Fjordland, and now we're reducing that to a total of 20, if you're on that open coast, and if you're
Right.
inside the fin, it'll be 10. So
So
there is a slight
just
reduction.
pause. Have you actually increased the catch in that outer area as well for recreational fishers?
No, but they will be able to take more fish on the open coast than they can
In
inside
the
the
inner
fjord.
waters. And so back to the question, are these viable fishing waters for most many recreational fishers? What kind of conditions?
Do you mean in terms of the physical environment out there? Yeah, I mean, it is a wild environment. We do get extreme weather happening out there. It's like the bow of the ship ploughing into the Southern Ocean. So, it is prone to getting extreme ocean conditions. That said, there are also days when you can get out there and fish out there. So we do need boaties to exercise caution and choose their days for when they fish out there. And for days when they can't safely get out there, they can still fish within the fjords, but just at a much lighter level.
What is the story with the age-old cooperation with commercial fishers? Will the recreational fishers who do move out be in an area that is commercially fished or can be commercially fished?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a tension between the different sectors, and particularly when things are trending downwards, there tends to be a lot of finger pointing that goes on in terms of who's causing the problem. But at the end of the day, in the entrances of the fjords and on the open coast, these are shared fisheries areas where we have commercial and recreational and customary fishing can all occur. And they can, work well side by side. I guess one of the problems that we have is that whilst there's really good data collected for commercial fishing activity, the recreational sector hasn't been supported to advocate for their activities, and that there is no sort of collective way that recreational fishing data are gathered. And so that's something that we're very impressed with some work that a group called Fish Mainland have been doing to develop a recreational reporting app, which will provide data in through to Fisheries New Zealand. And in time, if people use that app, the recreational sector will be much better placed to advocate for for the adults,
I guess what I'm getting at is, will the recreational fishers have clear space in this new area? What kind of input have you had from the commercial fishers about enabling the higher catch limits out in this outer area, and particularly the sort of the entrance to the inner fjords? I think that's the most likely area we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, the contested area really is the entrances to the fjords, because we are reducing the amount of fish that recreational fishers can take in those very entrances to the fjords, whilst commercial fishing activity is still legally allowed to happen in those areas. However, the commercial fishing industry tends to operate, with the exception of rock lobster, tends to operate on the open coast. So when we're talking about parwa or finfish fisheries, it doesn't really make commercial sense for them to fish in the entrances, because the stock there is not as abundant as it is on the open
Understood.
Coast.
Just finally, I'm just curious as to how you've got, I think of the fjords, and this is funny, your perception, maybe depth is not breadth. And you think of the sort of the pressure our most beloved kind of fishing areas around the country, and one doesn't necessarily think of the fjords as being one of them. The Hauraki Gulf certainly comes to mind sooner. Do you believe that fishers have been sticking to existing bag limits? And second, do you think you've got any other issues? Do you have poaching issues? What's led to the depletion of that stock?
That's a really good question, because it is a very remote area and a very vast area. Compared to the number of fishes that you might see on a daily basis in the Hauraki Gulf, for example, Fiordland's still, there's not that many people fishing there, really. We're sort of talking in the hundreds of boats rather than the many thousands of boats out flying those waters. However, because of the physical nature of the place, the fjords are particularly unproductive fisheries. They're really low energy. There's not much in the way of sort of nutrients coming in from the ocean. We have really high freshwater input, and there's very dark environments. And so there's not sort of that productive base to the fish stocks. So I think that the open coast fisheries are still... We don't have any evidence that those are in decline or under any pressure. It's really the fjords that we're concerned about.
Very good.
What we've learned is that they just cannot sustain much fishing pressure at all in the fjords. The current level of fishing pressure in there is causing stress to those fish stocks.
Rebecca, thank you. Rebecca McLeod, who is chair of the Guardians for the Fiordland Marine Guardians. Marine Guardians are set up in various places around the country to under a statutory system to advise on fish stocks and fishing rules. They operate, report to ultimately the Minister for the Environment.